this morning. We're on lesson 12 of a series we called Launching Your Faith. Launching Your Faith, how to have an active and alive faith for the 21st century. We've been through several sections, and the first section was Anchors Away. The second session section was several lessons about walking with the Lord daily. Now we're beginning a third section, and the section of these lessons is Vital Connection to the Home Port. A vital connection to the home port. And I urge you again to listen to Pastor Sherry's superb message called Listening to the Admiral, because we want to be listening to King Jesus. He's, of course, the Admiral in our analogy, but listening to his voice, hearing him and responding to him. And this morning, we want to talk about having a living and vibrant vision. A living and vibrant vision. What is God's heart? My question to you several times is several fold. What kind of Christian do you want to be? Every year, actually, at the beginning of the year, I ask these series of three questions, and I think it's important to do as well this morning. What kind of Christian do you want to be? And that leads, therefore, to the answer to your second question. What kind of Christianity, then, do you want to live? Thirdly, the answers to those lead you to the answer to your third question. What kind of church do you want to have? We're called to be sold out to Jesus Christ, His people, who yield 100% to Him. How many perfect people are in this room? Okay, I didn't see any show of hands. We're all still growing by His grace. But we want to be sold out Christians, living sold out Christianity. Not a part-time occupation. But when we surrendered to Him, we gave Him our whole lives. And we want to walk with Him and live Him and love Him and be who He wants us to be. And we want a church that's alive in that same way. Someone say amen or oh no.
Amen.
So what does the scripture say? Without a vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's what it says in the King James. Literally, the Hebrew refers to dwelling carelessly, without care or casually. If we dwell casually, it is a direct proportionate perspective to not having a vision for what Jesus wants for you and for me and for the church. Today, what I want to do as we go through Launching Your Faith number 12 is give you a perspective on seven pillars of truth, if you will. Seven pillars of truth or keys on which the church is built. What is God's vision for what God's house is to be? Number one, God's house, please say it with me, where God is first. One more time. Boom it out with me, would you? Where God is first. Matthew 16:18, He declares, on this rock, the rock of truth. It's not the rock of Peter when you look at the scripture in context. It's the rock of truth. And the declaration that Peter said was, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, on this rock, on this truth, I will build my church. Thank God He's got a church and He's building it. Secondly, Christ is the head of the church, Ephesians 5, that He might present it to Himself. What kind of a church? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, in your notes, I've given you quite a section that I want you to hold on to. We're going to unpack some of that this morning. But there are seven perspectives in your next section. The local church. What is the local church? Who are the people of the local church? What are we to be? Radically and passionately, people who believe in, and your fill-in is Jesus, who believe in Jesus as Lord of all. Is He your Lord? Have you surrendered to Him? He's everything. He's the one who makes your heart tick this morning, right? Makes your heart burn on fire for Him. Secondly, who have surrendered wholly to Him. And number three are called out from the world. Ekklesia is the Greek word in the New Testament. Called out ones, called out from the world, who are, number four, doing all they can with all they are and with all their might to know and love Him. All they can with all their might to know Him, to love Him, to walk with Him. We're not of the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. We are of Him. And the Bible says in Hebrews, we are strangers and pilgrims in this place, looking for a heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. How many are strangers and pilgrims on the earth, but love the Lord and want to be what He wants you to be? Amen. That's what the Bible says. They love Him. Number five, they live for Jesus. Are you living for Jesus this morning? And they are like Him. They want to be like Him in this world. And His people are doing everything they can, number seven, to bring Jesus and His good news to everyone so they can help bring as many people to heaven when it's time for any of us to leave and celebrate and reign with Jesus in eternity. Let's take as many people with us as we can. Amen? Let's unpack the paragraph. And there's a living and vibrant vision of who we are to be. We're His family. We're His church. What is His church supposed to be? Again, ecclesia, called out ones, called out from the world and changed. The name Christian. Are you thrilled and delighted to be able to be called a Christian? It was a term of derision in the New Testament church. Little Christs. Little Christ-like people. I'd rather be called that than almost anything else, wouldn't you? Believers. Some people find that the word Christian is off-putting to some. It puts them off. Other people say, well, just use the word believers. Either way, I love being called a Christian because I love Jesus' name. And I love being called a believer because a believer, and it's in your notes, a believer is one who is radically changed by Him, who believe Him, His Word and His Holy Spirit, who yield to Jesus in every facet of life. You know, I remember when I got radically saved, we had a revival in the north end of Seattle when I was in high school a long time ago. But when I was radically saved, we had hundreds of kids who yielded their life to the Lord. And I had friends who thought I was going through a phase. Church, I'm thrilled to be able to tell you, longest phase of my life. And thankfully, going right on into eternity. And I want to bring as many people with me as I can. Don't you? The church. What is the church? Who is the church? The people in and outside this building. People in the marketplace. People who live like Jesus in their families, in their homes, on their cul-de-sacs, in their businesses, in school, with their friends, their families, their neighbors. People who say, Lord God, You've saved me. You've redeemed me. Now with every facet of my being, with every breath I take, I want to be like You. I want to hear like You. I want to talk like You. I want to walk like You. And how many know, maybe like me, I got some growing room. Amen? Amen? You said it too fast for me. Say it for yourself. We have some growing room. Where do you find Christians? You should find them in every single legal occupation of life. Christians should be on commissions and councils and feeding the hungry and radiating His joy. Christians should be showing that Jesus is worth surrendering to and living for. They said it again. Jesus is worth surrendering to and living for. A living and vibrant vision. How can we be, best be, His community, locally, regionally, nationally, and make impact in the world for Jesus Christ? There are seven pillars, seven kingdom keys, if you will, to unlock this vision. These are not a complete list, guys. You might have other favorite issues or things. And by the way, I might say some of you might have one, two, or three of these things that are your favorites. But you can't build a church on just one, two, or three of these things. Jesus wants His church to reflect and walk in balance in all ways. Now, what does that mean? Balance. What does that mean? Be extreme in every area and then your wheel goes around and around nicely, right? Sold out to Jesus in every area and then it's in balance. Sometimes people say, you gotta be in balance. Which basically means you shouldn't be so excited for Jesus. You're too excited. Be in balance. Well, I don't want to be in balance if I can't be excited for Jesus. Somebody else say amen or oh no. How many want to go thumping down the road with an uneven wheel? No. We want to be what He wants us to be. So let's take a look at seven of these vital keys. Keys of the kingdom, if you will. Number one is worship. Number one is worship. Say it with me. Worship. To have a living and vibrant vision, to stay in vital connection with the home port, means you're in vital connection with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with Jesus Himself. Vitally connected to Jesus. We love Him first. We worship Him first. We are passionate about it. And in fact, the Bible says our very lives are to be incense to the Lord. a sweet fragrance of incense. And our hope isn't in this world. We're in it. We're not of the world. Our hope is in Jesus. He's everything. Watch what the scripture says. Exodus, you'll have no other gods before me. Matthew, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God. Come on, say it with me. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. John 4:23, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship him, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is on a mission. He's looking for worshipers. He's raised people up to yield and surrender to him. And he transforms our lives and wants worship both in how we live and in what we say and in what we sing. Are you a worshiper this morning? It's too quiet. Are you a worshiper this morning? In spirit, where the Holy Spirit leads, there's your fill-in, where the Holy Spirit leads the way. Where we love the Father, the Son. We love the Holy Spirit. We yield to him. We listen to him. We do our best to obey what he tells us. And we look and we listen and we try to see him and hear his revelation and respond to what he's saying. This is not some dead and boring religious tradition from thousands of years ago. Yes, we have the truth of the ages. But God is still alive and well and speaking to his people today. Amen? God wants to talk to us in spirit and in truth, according to his word. Now, I love it, as my wife Sherry says, and this is true. If it's not in the word of God, my wife Sherry would say, it's not worth the powder to blow it up. You build your faith and practice on the scriptures, on the word of God. What does the Bible say? We don't understand the Word of God perfectly, but we do the best we can to be as close as we can, to be faithful to the Word of God. If we err in interpretation, church, we are going to err on the side of being as close to Jesus as we possibly can, rather than err on the side of I have total liberty to get as far away from Him as I can get and still be okay. How many would rather be in that camp? Hopefully no hands go up. If you're walking on the mountain, we've used this analogy before. If you're on a tight trail on the mountain, and it's a tight mountain, man, you drop off. It's going to the Sun Highway. Vern's looking right at me. He knows exactly what I'm thinking of. Go to the Sun Highway. The road's this wide. My van was this wide. And my sons, and we're climbing to the moon. And my sons say, Dad, look at that. It's incredible down there. I'm going, you look at that. I'm trying to get up this mountain. So, if you're on the side of the mountain, walking in life, do you want to walk as close to the edge as you can? How many are going to be like me? Hug the mountain. Because if you get out on the edge as far away as you can be, it doesn't take much of a bump to knock you off. And the devil loves to throw bumps our way. But Jesus says, come on, stay close. Let me lead. Walk in spirit and in truth. You'll have no other gods in front of me. He is worth all of our praise and all of our worship. By the way, in this church, even as we apply this, before we go on to key number two, we take time for prayer. We take time for song and expressive worship and passionate congregational singing. I said passionate congregational singing. Sometimes the Lord needs to stir us up. And sometimes we need to stir ourselves up, but we sing and we rejoice because he's worthy of all of our praise. He's given everything to us. We return a bit of our lives, all of our lives to him. We got a worship band. If you're out there and you go, I could sing. I play guitar. I play drums. I play every favorite instrument you might all like. Daria would love the drum set right next to her. But if you want to play in the worship band, come and see us. I would love to see choirs for Thanksgiving and Easter and Christmas and orchestras. And let's move on with what God has shown us to do. Let's be the best worshipers we can be. Amen? About three of you said amen. Okay. Let's go on to word, to word. The Bible, there's your fill-in right there. The Bible is his word of truth. Again, we do our best to understand it and interpret it as closely as we can, and stay as close to Him as we can. The church is to be, and you have it in your notes, a house of living bread, a living bread where God's Word is loved and it's read and it's lived and it's received, and we give room for His Word to change our lives. Are you like me? You read the Bible through in a year, and this next year, you find things that somebody tucked in there that weren't there last year. Maybe instead of that, it's the Holy Spirit says, I want to open your eyes and see that, Kev. I've got some more work to do in your life this year, and I'm going to teach you from the Word. Are you glad you keep changing? That we all keep changing? I'm not the same guy I was 45 years ago. Thank God. I'm not the same guy I was a year ago. Thank God. I'm not the same guy I was yesterday. My wife's going, huh? We keep changing. We keep growing. We keep moving. Matthew 4, verse 4. Matthew 4, verse 4 tells us, he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. 1 Timothy, I write so you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the what? Of the truth. And John 17 answers that. The Bible is the best answer for the Bible. So what's the truth? Sanctify them by your truth. Your, what is it?
Word.
Your word is truth. We study. We give effort and we give time to the Word of God. What does He say? What did you hear from Jesus today? We read it on our own daily. We're through the Bible in a year. We encourage you, just like Dean did this morning, start right where you are. If you haven't been doing that in the past, it only takes 15, 20 minutes a day to read. But what you do is you stay exposed to the Word of God. You don't always get heavy revelation from heaven. You don't always eat steak and lobster every day for your meal. Sometimes you eat hot dogs and pork and beans. Okay, the rest of you are eating steak and lobster every day. It got quiet in here. Sometimes the meal is great, and sometimes it's thankfully the Lord provided and my spouse provided. And you know, but there's a partaking, there's an eating, there's a being refreshed in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to transform us, wash us. We are washed by the water of the Word, and it transforms our thinking. How many know there's a lot of pyrite? The one up there on the top left is pyrite. What's pyrite? A lot of fool's gold to be found out there. We'd rather have what's on the right, which is a picture of real gold. And guess what? Fool's gold is plenty available out in the world in all sorts of philosophies and ideas that do not satisfy the longing and true needs of men and women's hearts. You look at right now, you look across our society, our nation, being ripped apart by people who say, this is the truth, and no, it's this is the truth, and the color of your skin matters, and what you believe in statues. How many know that the answer is not hatred or bigotry? The answer is Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and He changes us one life at a time, and that's what deals with the spirit of hatred and bigotry. Can anybody say amen? We need a revival in America today. Come on, we need a revival in America today. We don't need fool's gold. We don't even need man's gold. What we need is found in the true riches, in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness, the Scripture says. For you have magnified your Word above all your name. 2 Timothy 2:15. We use a lot of Scripture in this place as we're teaching through the series. Study. Put effort in. The Greek word means spoudazo. Put effort in. Greek hard work and effort into reading and understanding the Word of God so you can be approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ephesians, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Why? So he can show himself and bring to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. Number 3, pillar of truth, key. Say it with me.
Grace.
Grace. What should the church of Jesus be? What is a living and vibrant vision? How should the church function? It should be alive and vibrant with grace that flows through our veins and through our lives. Romans 5 is a powerful section. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Please say it with me, the next phrase. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Church, we're called to be conformed to the image of Jesus. To keep changing, to be transformed. He keeps working with us and transforming our lives. How does it happen? By His Word, and by letting His Word change us, His Spirit guide us and lead us by being transformed by His grace. Daily grace, not just salvation grace, but daily grace where He gives us room and continues to show us how to grow. At Grace Christian Center, perfection is not demanded. Are you glad? Yeah. But opportunity for growth is encouraged and given. Let's see, what is being transformed? To be like Jesus is our what? Come on, say it out with me. Being transformed. To be like Jesus is our goal. And we encourage and cheer for you in your spiritual growth. We're cheering for you because we have allowed His Word to change us. We're not what we used to be, thank God. Romans 5:20, where sin increased, grace increased more. Out of the Message, sin didn't, I love this, and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. Romans 8:29, for whom He foreknew, He predestined to be, again, conformed to the image of His Son. One of the seven keys, grace. We give room for what the Bible calls grace, graciousness in our lives. Thank God, the grace of God sent His Son Jesus. Thank God Jesus came and He redeemed you and me. Thank God for forgiveness and mercy that comes by His grace. Number four, family. Say it with me. Family. A living and vibrant vision means you have a living and a vibrant people. His church. His family. Matthew 12 is a great scripture. He answered and said to the one who told Him, "Who's my mother and my brothers?" Remember, His family was concerned. He was going crazy. You're just kind of a crazy dude. What are you doing? And they say, "Hey, your mom and brothers are outside and they want you to come away with them, Jesus." And He answers, He says, "Hey, who are my brothers, my mother and my brothers?" He stretches His hands out toward His disciples. He said, "Here's my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister and mother." There's another scripture, remember, on the cross where Jesus said, "Woman," to His mother, "behold your son," and "son, behold your mother." And the Bible says she went to him, to John, from that day forward. John wasn't his natural family. Now, we love and honor our parents, our brothers and sisters, but the family of God will accept and encourage you sometimes, come on, in ways that your natural family might not encourage you in your walk with Jesus. Some of our natural families, when we gave our lives to the Lord, thought we were crazy. Well, we might have been. But we surrendered to Him. So you love and honor your natural family, but there is a family that God gives you in the Lord. Look around and say, "Hi, family!" John 13:35 says, "By this will all know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Acts 4:32, the multitude of those who believed were, say it with me, of one heart and one soul. 1 Corinthians 1:10, powerful scripture. "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you." I said, no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I'm going to make a strong point, and it's in your notes next. Maintain godly relationships, and your feeling is refuse to engage and backbiting and gossip. I said, refuse to engage in backbiting and gossip. Just plain don't listen. If somebody says, hey, let me tell you about so-and-so, stick your fingers in yours. If you need to do that to stop it, say, I'm sorry, if you have a problem with that person, go back to that person. I can't hear you. Amen? Refuse. What I'm telling you to do is literally by the power of the Holy Spirit, douse cold water on the demonic fire that wants to divide the body of Christ. We refuse to be typical churchianity where churches split and rip each other apart. By the grace of God, we will continue to be family. Someone say amen. We're colorblind. Colorblind. No prejudice, hatred, or bigotry. Red and yellow, black, white, brown, doesn't matter. Listen, take a look at the scriptures. In Antioch, it was Jew and Gentile worshiping together. And the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they all gathered together and they watched this thing. And you can imagine hot tears rolling down their face as they saw God do the miracle of Jew and Gentile together in worship together. Red, yellow, black, white, brown, it doesn't matter. When Jesus changes our hearts, we're one family before the Lord. Amen? Come on, somebody says amen to the truth that Jesus is Lord. And He's a creative God. And He likes looking out and says, I created you this way, and I created you this way, and I created you this way. Now y'all get along, get to enjoy each other. Amen? Variety. That's right. Antioch, Jew and Gentile, worshiping together. It was a miracle of how God showed He heals the hearts and makes one new family. What a powerful thing. Mark 11:17 is incredible. He began to teach and say to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for who? Not just Israel. For all the nations. Another key, love, restoration, and forgiveness. Love, restoration, and forgiveness. God's love brings healing. Some have been wounded by others. Some have wounded themselves. Some sins have been chosen that devastate lives. Thank God we serve a Lord who redeems and gives a new opportunity. I said, thank God we serve a God of the second chance. And some of us can thank God we serve a God who gives us third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth, and seventh chances. We serve a God who's a God of restoration. When you ask what God is for giving. And giving another opportunity. We lead with grace. And in God's house, those who are lost can find Him. And those who have strayed can find Him and be restored to Him again. Watch the scripture. 1 John 4:8, he who does not love, doesn't know God, for God is love. Have fervent love one for another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Out of the passion, constantly echo God's intense love for one another. For love will be a canopy. That was in the prophecy this morning. A canopy over a multitude of sins. Luke 6:31. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. And Matthew 18, Peter said, you can just imagine Peter, the big burly fisherman, right? He always got himself in trouble and he comforts me because I feel a lot like Peter sometimes. And Peter said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And I'm sure he thought that was generous. Jesus said, I don't say to you up to 7 times, but 70 times 7. It takes grace, doesn't it? The grace of God. 2 Timothy 4:11. This is beautiful because this is about John Mark. John Mark went out with Barnabas and Paul, and John Mark left them on the mission field when he was a young man. And the next time that they wanted to go out and strengthen the churches, Barnabas wanted to take Mark, and Paul said, ain't no way we're taking Mark. He flaked out the first time around. And the division between them was so sharp that Barnabas went off with another, and Paul began to travel with Silas. But at the end of Paul's life, after Mark has been restored in ministry, he was a disciple of Peter, and he was also under the auspices of his cousin or his uncle, whichever way it is, with Barnabas. He was restored to usefulness. And the beauty of this, Paul, toward the end of his life in jail, says, listen, I want you to get Mark and bring him, for he is useful to me in ministry. The message says, He'll be my right-hand man. The Passion says he's a tremendous help for me in my ministry. Don't you love seeing the restoring power of God's grace? His love, restoration, and forgiveness. Next key, healing, prayer, deliverance, ministry release. All these things together, Matthew 21 says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Your concerns concern God, and your concerns concern us. Romans 12, verse 15 says, I'm sorry I went on too quickly. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. We have intercessors in this house. We turn in a prayer request, and we give that prayer request to an intercessor who prays for that every day over the next 2 weeks. We have prayer partners and strategic prayer warriors and partners praying every day because we believe God wants to do miracles. Someone say amen. God wants to do miracles. And we believe God hears and answers prayer. Jesus' name prevails. The Bible shows us that the devil is defeated by Jesus' blood, at the cross, and at Jesus' resurrection. We proclaim the name of Jesus. We believe in delivering strength for His people. The name of Jesus brings healing. The name of Jesus brings forgiveness. It's not my giving you 30 great points. It's Jesus Himself who saves, redeems, and heals. Amen? Acts 3 shows us the delivering prayer, the healing for the lame man at the temple in the name of Jesus. Acts 8 shows us deliverance in the city of Samaria as soon as preaching in the name of Jesus came. Then point 7. Seventh key, ministry, service, evangelism, and outreach. Now through the ages, the center of the life of a community and town was the church. That was the concept of everything in Europe, and that's why they had these astronomical cathedrals, as people gave their all to build these cathedrals that would long outlive them. Too many times now they're like museums because the anointing is gone. But in a church or in a community, the church in a region should be the life and vibrancy of that community. The people of that community should wonder what they think over there. Or maybe the Holy Spirit's presence won't allow people to just be free in sin because they know there's a keeping presence in that community. What does God think? There's salt and light and in the marketplace of ideas. You know, I gotta say to you guys, maybe not everybody is thrilled that we're near, but as soon as they or their family has a need, they're glad we're here. The center of life in the community, the church. He who is wise, or he who wins souls, is wise. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Mark 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go therefore and make disciples. In Acts 1, you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Church, lift your vision. Lift your vision. You were saved for something greater. S-F-S-G. Saved for something greater. The church, a city and a light set on a hill, a lighthouse, if you will. And Jesus will bring the hungry and the needy. Matthew 9, you see, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Lift your vision. Lift your vision. Save for something greater. Missions. What is it? A living and active vision. Well, the church should be a place where missions are supported. Church, we support missions locally. We support missions for feeding the hungry out on the streets. We support missions nationally. We support missions internationally. India and Mexico and Tel Aviv and Russia and throughout the United States and missions during natural disasters. And we support our local sheriffs and fire departments and support for unwed mothers and pregnancies. And we minister to other ministers. We have missions, and that's part of what the Church of Jesus is to do, to give away, to support the work of God around the world. How many are praying right now for the Christians who are suffering genocide around the world? Man, we're telling you guys, Christians are being boiled in oil, beheaded, everything. They're suffering at the hands of jihadists and other places around the world. It's going to take a revival. I said it's going to take revival. It's going to take God to move through His people in a powerful way and by His Holy Spirit. Ministry training. We have empowering for ministry. There's your fill-in. Ministry training. Empowered for ministry. We believe in the multiplication of ministry. If I try to reach everybody by myself, we might be able to get one at a time. We have a little addition. But if I can reach one, and that one can turn around and reach five others, or 12 others, or whatever, then you have multiplication for ministry. So ministry can flourish and find covering. The Bible talks about a candle stuck, what? In a candlestick. If you're by yourself, a ministry that travels around alone can be equivalent to a flying tree. How many want to see a tree flying your way without roots? Might create a little damage along the way. It's not very safe. Or maybe like a tumbleweed where there's no roots and no substantial fruit that goes down or that bears forth. We want to see great fruit. We want to see great ministry take place. And so a living and vibrant vision in the house of God includes ministry and ministry training. And the Bible says study to show yourself approved. And so you're part of the ministry team and people know who you are. 1 Thessalonians says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. You know those who are released in ministry. We don't have people that just walk off the streets and start to lay hands on everybody indiscriminately in the congregation that we don't know. As your pastors, we're responsible for your soul before God and to help watch over that part of this part of God's kingdom. And we want to see ministry birth and develop, but we don't have prophecy will travel. You see what I'm saying? Anybody remember the old Paladin show? A few gray hairs in this room will. Every person involvement, every person involvement, every person a minister. Are you breathing out here this morning? What does it take to be a part of a living and vibrant vision? Ephesians tells us, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the, by what every joint supplies. Every person has a part. Every person, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Romans 12:6, having then gifts differing according to the grace of God that is given us, say it with me, let us use them. The most growth will come for those most hungry. And we release and work on releasing the gifts of the Spirit in our gatherings and in our congregation. The fivefold ministry and gifts of the Spirit are alive and active today in the 21st century. They're alive and active today in the 21st century. They did not cease cessationism, but continuationism. They continue on in the 21st century according to the Word of God. And He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Maybe nobody obviously is part of the original 12, but the definition of the word apostle is sent out one. We know people who have, and have met people, ladies, by the way, in some Asian countries, who have birthed and overseen hundreds and even 1,000 churches or more. And you don't recognize the anointing that's in their life? No, you do. You recognize what God has done. We've seen it over and over and over again as God gives room and God is on the move. How many want to give room for God to do what He wants? The most growth comes, again, for those most hungry for Jesus. There's your fill-in. For those most hungry for Jesus. We provide solid Bible teaching for those who are hungry in Him. Romans 8:29 says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined, again, what's his goal? To conform us to his image. And then we have all of us in an unveiled face beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Are being, say it with me please, transformed. Transformed into his same image. And then in the Message version on that verse, we're transfigured much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become more like him. All right. Seven keys. A lot of information. You've got them in your notes. I urge you to go back, look over the scriptures, and we finalize this lesson by saying, how do we respond to his living and vibrant vision? God's church has responsibilities. So do God's believers. What are we to do? Number one, you guys, we're to continue. I've got 5 points here, and every one of them indicates continue. We're to continue on in close communion with Jesus. Abide in me and I in you. You cannot bear fruit without abiding in the presence of the Lord. You'll see the scripture, John 15, 4 and 5. Number two, continue daily in his word. Daily. John 8, 31. If you can abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Number three, continue to attend regularly. That might sound silly to say. But what does it mean? It means every time I can, when church is on, man, I'm here because we're the church. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you're here this morning?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here too. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. What does it say? Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. How many know the day of the Lord's return is approaching more now than it was when that was written 2,000 years ago? So much more we need each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to encourage each other to keep growing and keep going in the Lord. Number four, continue to press in and be taught. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. He who heeds counsel is wise. He who walks with wise men will be wise, the Bible says. Continue to press in and be taught. And number five, continue to have an eager, fully, your filling is alive. Fully alive. Heart attitude. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And Jude 1, verse 3, contend earnestly for the faith, which is once for all delivered to the saints. Stay in close communion. Continue with Jesus. Continue in his word. Continue to attend. Continue to press in and be taught. Continue to have an eager, fully alive heart attitude. Again, this list this morning is not all-inclusive. But these are the things that birth a living and vibrant vision in the Lord. How do we live his way as Christians? How do we live his way in Christianity? How do we live his way as his church? Sold out in every area. You've got a paragraph. We'll close with that. God's house is a house alive, filled with people who celebrate a surrendered, passionate love relationship with Jesus. Stay close to him. Keep in vital connection to the home port, your home church, and hold on to his living and vibrant vision. Amen.